As I mingled around a little bit this afternoon, and as I look at you now, you look like a pretty secure, rather confident group of individuals. And yet, if we live life a little bit, we know that that's just on the outside. I think of so often that verse in Proverbs where it says, even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Proverbs 14:13. Have you ever put a smile on your face to hide a tear in your heart? Have you ever pretended like things were okay, but down inside your heart was like lead? We've all done it, haven't we? In fact, oftentimes when you see a person who seems extremely self-confident, you can be pretty sure that they're overcompensating for a deep insecurity or a sense of worthlessness or uselessness. I think of one of the fellows on our staff down in Glen Eyrie. I always appreciated seeing him because he seemed to be in command of himself and in charge of his crew. He always had a smile on his face. He seemed like he was on top of the job. And one day I was driving on to Glen Eyrie and the property. He was walking along. I stopped and picked him up. He got in and he said, Lorne, I was hoping you'd pick me up because I want to ask you a serious question. Is it worth it all? Is it really worth it? And I thought, how we can be fooled. Everything about him, you wouldn't think that down inside, he was wondering, at that time at least, is it worth it? We recall how Jesus went about the countryside, the towns and villages, preaching. And as he saw people, and of course he could look down into their hearts, it says he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted. Or as the RSV says, they were harassed and helpless, as sheep having no shepherd. And people are not only lost, but they're lonely. They're harassed, they're helpless. And I suppose that a lot of us right here, even though we may look like we're pretty confident on the outside, are not really all that confident down inside. And even many wonder, do I have any worth at all? I feel sort of useless. Can I do anything? And if you happen to be in that situation tonight, this little talk is for you. And if you don't happen to be in that situation tonight, it's still for you. Take a few notes because it'll happen somewhere along the line. As someone says, we not only have a faithful Lord, we have a faithful enemy. So I want to talk with you these last few moments of this half-day conference on the importance of every individual, the significance of every person, that there is not one person here tonight that does not have significance and worth and importance. And that there's no one that you know or will meet that is not important and significant and have worth. Because everyone, you and everyone, is important to somebody. And first of all, you are important to God. I think it's good for us to remember that. There is this question that goes around, who am I? If someone asks me that, they say, who am I? I can tell you who you are. Because I get it over here in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. And without reading it, it says that you are a being made in the image of God. That's who you are. You are a being made in the image of God. That means you have personality. You have the power of abstract thought. You have the moral faculty, the ability to choose between right and wrong. You have a spiritual nature. And not only that, God has delegated authority to you. He said we're to have dominions over the creature, the earth. We were to subdue it. We intended that life should be an adventure, and he has delegated responsibilities to us. every individual, every human being is important to God by virtue of the fact that everyone is made in the image of God. And not only are we made in the image of God with these powers that I talked about, but they go on forever. A flower blooms and dies. But man continues to think and to feel forever. Therefore, Jesus said, "You are worth more than many flocks of sparrows," over there in Luke chapter 12, verse 7. And he says, "Did not my heavenly Father take notice when one sparrow falls to the ground? You are worth more than many flocks of sparrows. Therefore, will not my heavenly Father take notice of you?" Now, when you leave this crowd today, and you get in your car, and somebody lets you off at your house or apartment or wherever you live, you may feel a little bit different than you do sitting among maybe 1,000 people. But he's there with you. You are worth more than many flocks of sparrows. In fact, you are worth more than the whole earth, the whole world, and the loss of the whole earth, this whole world, would be less of a loss than the loss of you. Because Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Mark 8:36. Therefore, every individual is important. You are important. You are significant. You are important to God by virtue of what you are. You are a being created in the image of God and are important to Him. But not only that, you are important to God by virtue of what it cost to redeem you, to buy you back, to pay for your sins. And what was that cost? The Scripture says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son for you. Now, God the Father gave the best that there is in the universe, His Son, for you. And you are bought back. Your sins and mine were paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, that's quite a price to pay. And if a thing is measured by what we're worth willing to pay for it, think of how worthwhile you are to God. And to think that Jesus Himself, the spotless Son of God, came down here on earth and took your sins on His body on the cross. Suppose this hand represents you, and this little notebook represents sin. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have, I have. Now God thought so much of you and me that Jesus Christ came. And according to 1 Peter 2:24, it says that Jesus Christ, and this hand represents Jesus Christ, says who His own self took our sins in His own body on the cross. Don't ever say you're useful, you're worthless. Sometimes you feel like saying, "I'm nothing but a nothing." Or my dad say, "I feel like crawling into a hole and pulling the hole in after me." All right. You may have sinned. A person may be lazy. They may be wicked. They may even be violent. But they are not worthless. They may have gone far, far, far astray, but they are not worthless. They are still beings made in the image of God. And they still are beings for whom Jesus Christ shed His blood. And so are you. And you. And you. And you. Now, we may be in need of transformation. And we are, but we're not worthless. So we're important. Every individual is important to God by virtue of creation, by virtue of redemption, and also by virtue of the fact that under the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, every individual can be a channel of blessing to others. God is in the business of changing lives, including yours. Tell me something. Would you like to stay like you are right now all the rest of your life? Now, as far as I can see, you look neat to me. But down inside, none of us want to stay like we are. And there are some of you tonight here, many, you haven't come with any great sense of worthwhileness, of victory, of usefulness, have you? Well, I tell you, that's what this wonderful story is all about, that no failure need ever be final. It's never too late. You're never too old for the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. You take Jacob. Jacob in the Old Testament was about everything I would not like in a friend. Sissy, mama's boy, a schemer, supplanter. But when he was 80 years of age, an angel of God wrestled with him one night and he yielded to God. And God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, meaning prince with God. And so I think to myself, there's still hope for me. And even if I've been useless up to this point, God can transform me and make me a channel of blessing to others. Every individual is worthwhile. Every person is significant. You are important to God. But not only that, I firmly believe that every individual, every human being is significant, important to somebody, some other human being. I think of a little baby that maybe died at 2 weeks of age. 2 weeks old. Is that baby significant to anybody? I know that baby's significant to God. But what about people? My mother lost a little baby, 2 weeks old, 50 years ago. And not long ago, my mom, who's still living, she's 77, she said scarcely a week goes by. But I think of our little girl. Now, if you ask me through my lifetime, you say, well, Lauren, do you have any brothers and sisters? I say, yes, I have 2 brothers and a sister. And they all live in California. Why don't I say I have 2 brothers and 2 sisters? One sister's in California and one's with the Lord. I don't remember her. I was tiny. But you know, she's significant to my mother and has been for 50 years. Oh, I think of a boy who came up to me after a counseling class in Scotland. And he was a spastic boy. He was 14 years of age. And I remember he came up to me and he couldn't hold his head steady as he said to me, Mr. Sanny, do you think that God could use me? And I put my arm around him and I said, son, I know that God can use you. And I can say that because I believe and because the Bible teaches that every individual is important and significant to God, not only by creation, redemption, but that God can use as a channel of blessing to somebody. One time after a meeting, a lady came up to me and waited around until everybody was gone. And she said, Mr. Sanny, I'm 84 years old. I live alone. You talk tonight about being used of God, and what can I do? Well, it popped into my mind of how the Gospel of Luke tells about the lady who stayed in the temple and who served God with prayers night and day. So I turned over to that scripture to point it out to her, and I wasn't aware till I looked at it that it says she was 84 years old. I'm sure glad that was that way. But I could look at her and say, you can be, are useful. You are important, not only to God, but to somebody. And so everyone is important to God. And everyone is important to somebody else. Now I want to know, do you believe that? That every individual is significant, has worth, is important, beginning with you? Do you believe it concerning yourself enough to thank God that you are made in His image? Enough to thank God for sending Christ to die for you? In fact, enough to do what I had to do one night when I was 19. I wasn't sure if I'd ever received Jesus Christ into my life. I thought maybe I had, and then I wasn't sure. So I decided to make certain, and so one night I got out of bed on the side of, on my knees beside my bed, and I just said something like this. I said, Lord Jesus, I know that you died for me. And if I have never asked you to come into my life before, I do ask you to come in right now. And I got back into bed. And I really believe that that's when the Christian life started for me that night. Have you ever done that? Right where you sit, right now, if you're not sure. While I'm talking. Even without closing your eyes, you just say it to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that you died for me. And if I've never invited you into my life before, I do ask you to come in right now. Cleanse me of my sin. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. You mean something to Him. You're worthwhile. You're worth it to Him. In fact, you're worth it enough to Him to not only take that step, but to surrender yourself to Him for whatever He wants you to do, wherever in this world it might take you. Do you believe in the worth? Wildness of every individual? Of yourself and of others? Do you believe in it enough to not brush by little kids? Do you believe the little kids are important? Now, some of us in the Navigators, we work with collegiates and with military people and laymen. Well, what about little kids? Well, you know, we work in the 18 to 25 age group. How old are you? 17. Well, that's some tough grits. You'll have to go elsewhere. I learned a great lesson from a fellow by the name of Bob Foster who runs Lost Valley Ranch. Some of you may know Bob. Whenever Bob would call my house and ask for me, and one of our kids asked the phone, he wasn't one to say, somebody, hello, is your dad there? Can I speak with your dad? No, sir. He always said, hey, who's this? Well, so-and-so. Well, this is Bob Foster. How are you doing? And he would take 30 seconds just to talk with the youngster and then say, is your dad home? And I thought, now there's somebody who believes in the significance, the importance of every human being, including little kids. Do you believe in the importance, the worthwhileness of every individual enough to remember that the waitress is a human being? You just sit there and watch people grumble and growl. And then take a little look and see if perhaps you can, it's obvious that two or three waitresses haven't shown up, and she's doing the best job she can. Oh, I remember one time, you know, that 2 years ago I got kicked out of a doctor's office and told never to come back again? That never happened to me in my life. I mean, I thought I'm a kind of an easygoing type guy. But this nurse in that office said, "Mr. Sandy, you find another doctor and don't ever come back here again." She said, "You were belligerent from the moment you walked in that door." Oh, me? Little old, quiet little me? You know, I was bothered by that, you know. I'd never been kicked out before. So that night I phoned her. She said, "Mr. Sandy, I'm so happy you phoned. I wanted to call you." She said, I was wrong. She said, "At home we have a terrible problem." And I was just very irritable and uptight. "And would you forgive me?" And you know, we don't stop and think what crushing loads that people may be carrying. And I remember that waitress, that filling station attendant, that person, they're human beings. They're important. And a smile and appreciation, what it would mean to somebody. You know why appreciation goes over so big? Because there's so little of it. A friendly compliment. I remember one time with the Graham team, they'd given me a birthday party and they gave me a new top coat. And I went into a restaurant a couple days later and I paid the bill and the cashier said to me, "My, that's a lovely coat you have." And you know, I walked out of there, and as I walked down the street, I found myself going, if we believe in the worthwhileness of people, their importance enough to exercise Philippians 4:8, to think about the good, the virtuous, anything that's of praise, instead of always thinking what's wrong, the yes, but. You know, as I review my own life, there are five people who I think have had the greatest influence in my life. And it dawned on me one day that all five had a same characteristic about them as it related to me as to why they meant so much to me. And the basic thing was this, that every one of them made me believe that they had confidence in me. And every one of us has a desperate need that somebody believe in us. And Doss Trotman, who founded the Navigators, used to say that the greatest test of faith is not the test of faith for money, for the rent, or for this or for that, but it's to trust God for people. Can you trust God for your children? Can you trust God for your parents? Do you think your parents are worthwhile? Do you think they're worth it? Someone pointed out the last verse of the Old Testament. Let me read to you the last verse of the Old Testament. And it's talking about John the Baptist, who's the first ministry of the New Testament. And here's what it says. Here's what he's going to do. "He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers." And you look over in Luke and you find that John the Baptist's first job was to teach fathers to love their children and children to love their fathers. And when we talk about believing in the importance of every individual, the significance of every individual, the worthwhileness of every individual, let's begin at home with dad or mom or son or daughter or brother or sister. Do you believe in the worthwhileness of people enough to just to be willing to pour yourself out for one person? Or to feel significant or useful, you feel you've got to have a little group sitting around listening to you. Can't you see Jesus coming into Jericho And the crowds are just lining the streets with this sort of a parade. Here comes Jesus. And there's mobs all over. And he looks up in the tree and he sees little old Zacchaeus up there. Some said Zacchaeus was up a tree and out on a limb. And that's where he was. And Jesus looked at him and said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm coming to your house today. And I don't know, as the people looking on felt that that was the best company for Jesus. I've told this story so often, and some of you have heard it before, but it made such an impression on me, and maybe it will on you. When I first went to London with the Billy Graham team, first night there, I'd never been there before, homesick, a little scared. My buddy Charlie Riggs and I went out to find a bite to eat. It was about 10:30 at night. Finally, we found a little restaurant open, the second floor of a second story of a building. Everything else was quiet. It was a typical, what I thought of a typical London night, foggy, misty, and all the rest. We walked in, and there were a number of people in there, and across the room, there was a drunk American, or a half-drunk American. But he wasn't so drunk, but what he could recognize us as Americans. He said, hello there, where are you guys from? I thought, oh, no, ooh. You know, I just not kind of like that. And besides, I've heard about these ugly Americans and all, and here's one, and I thought, I wish he'd shut up. But he didn't shut up. In fact, he got up, he came over and sat down next to Charlie Riggs, right across the table from me. And I was sort of being quiet and wishing he'd go away, or at least quiet down. But Charlie engaged him in conversation, and along the way he said, what are you doing over here? And Charlie said, we're here with the Billy Graham team. And this fellow looked across the table at me, and he said, you'll never make a missionary. I said, why is that? And he went like this. He could tell in his half-drunken state that I had stiff-armed him. I'd pulled my little righteous robes about me and wished he would go away. I didn't accept him. And I suppose if I'd have thought it through logically, he was a worthwhile person for whom Christ died. Now, Jesus wouldn't be ashamed to be identified with someone like that. And to be willing to give yourself to him. One person at a time. Do you believe in the importance and the significance and worthwhileness of every individual? Of yourself? Of your parents, your brothers and sisters, your friends? Whether they're 4, 14, or 84. A great preacher of another day from Boston, Phillips Brooks, said, if we could see the value of one soul as Jesus saw it, our ministry would approach the effectiveness of Christ's. Or the Apostle Paul, who of course saw the worthwhileness of every individual, wrote to the Corinthians and he said, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Whether you respond to me or not, I'll pour out my love to you. That's 2 Corinthians 12:15. Some months ago, we were having quite a struggle and some irritations and aggravations with some of us in the work. And the guys, some of them had thought that I had really fouled things up, and I really had, but they didn't know the real facts about things. But anyway, they were sort of half accusing me, and they were half right and half wrong. And I remember saying, you know, I don't want to go through this. I was kind of half crying, half laughing. I said, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm just going to go get in the car, go get my wife, Lucy, and we're going to go find somebody who needs some help and just help them. I don't want to fight anybody. I don't want to argue with anybody. I don't want to get all these hassles. I don't want to be anybody. I just like to go out and help somebody. And Lucy and I took for our verse for this year, and it's become a verse for the rest of our lives, Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed, or thou shalt enjoy security. Just trust in the Lord and do good to people. To people. They're important. They're important. Every individual is important. You are important. And that person that you come across, be they look lovely or unlovely, friendly or unfriendly, they're important. They're significant. They're worth it. They were worth it to God, they were worth it to Jesus, and they ought to be worth it to us. Let's pray. Lord, every one of us tonight would admit that we need to stop and think about just how much we mean individually to you. By virtue of the fact that you made